This is URN.
Hello, so myself and Lottie are currently sat down with the community officer, Daisy Forster, and we're just going to be having a nice little chat about her position in the role. And so, hello Daisy.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And so how have you been settling into your role, you know, as community officer? So what are some of the main responsibilities that you've been responsible for so far?
It's been good. tiring for sure. It's definitely a massive... it's like being thrown in the deep end, because you go from my graduation ceremony to meeting with some of the most senior people in the university, who have huge amounts of sway, which the imposter syndrome is massive, but you get used to it, and then you learn how to communicate in better ways. But yeah, my main responsibility has been cost of living, and leading on the SU side of things and trying to push the university as much as I can in different areas. And I've been working on housing stuff. We're going into House Hunting Information Week next week, where we're going to be going to halls talking to students about house hunting and encouraging them to not get a house really quickly, because then they might end up living with people that they don't like in 3 weeks. So that's a really important message to get across. I've done a bit of stuff around, I need to get my update up from my newsletter because I'm forgetting it. I got a lot of personal alarms from the university. We got 2,000 of them, and those are being distributed. They got delivered today and are being distributed to societies and sports clubs, and they were massively successful. I think I added up the number of requests we got, and it was like 7,000 personal alarms were requested. We don't have that many, but it just proves that students really want them, and they will make people feel more safe, which was a big win. The two events for the cost of living have taken up a lot of my time, and I've been talking to MPs and things like that, which has taken up quite a bit of my time. I've also attended the Russell Group Student Collective, which was it's like a group of sabbatical officers from across the Russell Group, which I'm very morally conflicted about. I think it's a little bit elitist, but I'm trying to be more positive and think that it's better to steer it from the inside than just be outside of it, because it's going to happen whether we're a part of it or not. So that's been happening, and some positive things have been coming from that. We've also started a partnership with Trent. We now have a member of staff that's hired across both SUs, which has been really, really good, because it means that we're in much better communication with their officers, and when we need to push for something in the city, we can get it more easily. And I think that's going to be a really great asset for the future.
I suppose, sort of speaking of the city as well, how have you been finding getting involved in the local community? You know, are you seeing a positive response to, you know, student initiatives and to students in general?
It's something that needs working on, for sure. I think that there's a bit of tension between the student community and the local community, especially in Lenton. We have a whole university team who are dedicated to managing that relationship, and they've some really positive work is coming out of them this year. They've just hired, I think, 12 student ambassadors who are kind of going around making sure that everyone's okay, and, like, I guess absorbing some of that backlash, but also trying to help students be the best citizens that they can be. But I'm a firm believer that actually students do get a bad rep, and we have a really positive impact on the community, and that's not necessarily appreciated as much as it could be. And there's a piece of work that we're looking to do in the future with the local councillors to rebuild that relationship a bit more and help them see students as a vulnerable group living in their constituencies, or wards, they're called, in their wards. Because I think that that often gets overlooked, and the locals are seen as the victims, where actually the students are really struggling and have been really struggling for a while. So I think one of the things that the partnership with Trent will be working on is rebuilding that relationship with the councillors and trying to, like, get rid of that stigma a little bit.
So kind of as, like, a representative of the SU, what are, like, on the whole, the SU's priorities in terms of kind of tackling the cost of living issues for students?
Yeah, so the first thing I'll say is that right from the offset, we knew that this was going to kind of take over this year a bit. It was almost like when the pandemic hit and every SU officer in the country no longer had a manifesto, because it, you know, it got something more important came up. So we all sat down quite early on to work out what we wanted to do, and I kind of, despite my manifesto not mentioning cost of living, obviously, because it hadn't really come up at that point, I kind of said, well, I'm happy to take a lead on it. So we came up with three priorities. The first one is like rights awareness and making sure that students are aware of the support that's available to them, and also things like the there was a council tax rebate a couple of months ago that wasn't available to students, but then the council put out an energy bill rebate that was available to students, and not many people knew about it. So we tried our best to make sure that that got out through TikTok. It did really well. We think TikTok is a great way to get stuff out to students, but also making sure that students know that the SU Advice Centre is open for if their like deposit gets taken away by a landlord. That's 500 quid that makes a massive difference in a cost of living crisis, and if SU Advice can get that back for them, that makes a huge difference. So knowing that that's available, knowing that hardship funding is available, knowing that the bursary, as or that even though it's been cut by quite a lot recently, it is available, and not every student receives it automatically, but that doesn't mean that they're not entitled to it. Those kind of things, we wanted to make sure that we were focusing on the comms and making sure that students knew what was available. Secondly, was the lobbying side of things. As I was saying before, nothing's going to scratch the surface until the maintenance loans get increased. So we wanted to put a large amount of energy into speaking to MPs, writing to the government, and trying to lobby for real change. So me and Sully have both met with MPs. We've obviously got the Q&A coming up where more MPs are coming, and councillors, and we're also working on an open letter with the Russell Group Students Union Collective and our East Midlands Students Union Group, which is going to go out to MPs in the area. We've taken advice that really there's not much point lobbying like the government and the Department of Education, because they're a bit like reluctant, so we think backbenchers is the way to go, so being quite tactical in that. And then the third thing is obviously direct support. It's really important, and we're very limited in what we can provide, because our funding, we don't have much funding to do it, but we've got the free events happening in Mooch twice a week, which gives students an opportunity to go and do something fun for free, because social activity is the first thing that goes when people are struggling financially, and they can go to both the karaoke and the live music nights without buying a drink. There's no pressure to buy a drink. That's absolutely fine. What else have we got? The fair was obviously a signposting and comms thing. We've partnered up with a group in the university to provide a breakfast club, which is opening in the next couple of weeks, and that'll be free breakfast every single day for any student who needs it, and that'll be downstairs in the Oasis. And then all of our catering outlets, so Portland Coffee and Mooch and Spa, I believe, have all introduced a budget option, so students can get a cheaper lunch on campus. That's what we've done so far. We'll still be pushing for more from the university. We'll still try and do as much as we possibly can. It's on the top of our agenda. Things have been cut in order to do the things that we're doing already. So, yeah, hopefully some of it will make a difference.
I mean, yeah, I think it'll definitely make a difference to those who were kind of active with the SU. But I think every year, this isn't just like a this year kind of issue, but I think a lot of students do feel very disconnected from their SU, which is a real shame, because you are doing so much. But kind of, is there any plans in the works that you can speak about to try and like bridge that gap between like the SU and students on a more general basis?
Yeah, 100%. And another one of our group SU priorities is engagement and engaging with those groups that aren't often, you know, don't sign up to societies as much and don't engage in democracy as much. And there's always a reason for that. And one of the things that I've forgotten to mention, so I'm glad you asked me this question, is we got a massive chunk of money from the university recently called the Opportunities Fund. And that is about getting students from disadvantaged, low-income backgrounds engaged in SU activity. So some of that money is going to be used to reimburse people buying society memberships and sports club memberships. So people from those backgrounds will be able to access SU activity for free. Some of that money is going straight into society pots in order for them to run events that are more targeted to underrepresented groups. I will also say that we're definitely gaining traction in our kind of change in the way that we're reaching out to students. The Student Voice team are working really, really hard on engagement this year, and we're already seeing the numbers going up. The course, we've got more course reps than we had last year by quite a big amount, and sending out emails to them that then gets distributed to everyone else. Like, even through the sign up link for the Q&A this evening, I'm seeing such a more diverse range of names than what we would usually see. So I think that we are making progress. And also TikTok, I think the TikTok algorithm kind of does it for us sometimes, and it will reach groups that we're not used to, that we don't usually reach. And I think that using those avenues that we know are going to reach students that we don't necessarily reach through our own avenues is really important, and doing it that tactically as well.
Unlike the TikTok, I know you've mentioned it quite a bit, but kind of what's your approach to TikTok? Because obviously a lot of people kind of interpret it in a different way, but you speak a lot about reaching that student audience. So kind of how do you go about that?
I'm literally addicted to TikTok, but we've been trying to keep on top of the trends. And if a trend comes up and there's something that we want to inform students about and they align, then we can make something. I'm making one at the moment about house hunting, and I'm using Spice Girls, which isn't really a trend, but I really wanted to use Spice Girls. But I think that what we're seeing is when we're making a bit of content about something that students will look at and go, oh, I didn't know about that, that's actually a really useful bit of information, it does better. And I think that, like, that's almost something that is really successful in TikTok generally, is people getting hints and tricks and tips on how to make their life easier, and hopping on the back of the fact that the algorithm likes that and people like that. I think TikTok is a really good platform for it and lends itself to it, whereas other social media platforms aren't so much geared towards that. And I think that, like, you know, Instagram is so oversaturated with people posting selfies and advertising events and, you know, those kind of things, whereas TikTok is more niche. And I think that taking advantage of that is so important when moving forward and getting things out to students.
We're on campus
and we're online.
University
Radio
Nottingham.